Welcome back to another episode of the Aquademia podcast. I'm your host, Justin Grant.
And I'm Maddie Cassidy.
And today we are sitting down with returning guest, Chip Terry, who is a competitive sailor and the CEO of Blue Trace. If that name sounds familiar, he was with us back in 2021 for episode 112. Check that out. The link for that episode will be in the show notes. Before we jump in to this episode with Chip, where we are going to discuss FSMA 204, which is Food Safety Modernization Act, Section 204, we are on social. We are on Twitter, at AquademiaPod. Go ahead and find us and follow us if you aren't already. And if you want to contact the podcast for any reason, you can do so with our online form, which is located at globalseafood.org/podcast.
And if you like what you're listening to, then feel free to give us a review or rating on whichever podcast platform you're listening to us on. And if you extra like what we're doing, then you should definitely subscribe to the podcast on your podcast platform of choice so that every single episode gets directly downloaded to your device when it comes out.
And we'll see you at the end.
Welcome to the Aquademia podcast.
Our diet is hurting the environment in myriad ways. I mean, we desperately need to eat more seafood.
This is a pioneering industry with a whole lot of people who have really good ideas and a lot of experience and are unafraid.
Aquademia is your go-to podcast for a fresh take on all things seafood.
We are sitting down with Chip Terry, the CEO of Blue Trace. If that name sounds familiar, it's because we did an episode with Chip back in October. It was released back in October 2021. It was episode 112, Seafood Innovations, Product Tracking Made Simpler with Chip Terry of Blue Trace. So Chip, welcome back.
Hey, thank you for having me. It's exciting to be back. And what episode are you guys on now?
Oh my.
Like 280?
Yeah, maybe? We're creeping up to the 300 mark.
So more than double since the last time we saw you. And the last time we recorded with you, we didn't even have this studio built out. So now you're able to record with us in the full studio.
Yeah, you guys are missing it on the podcast because this is an impressive studio and these microphones are badass.
You know, maybe when we finish, if we can remember, which sometimes I forget. Matt usually reminds me. We should take a photo of us,
yes,
of the three of us, because Chip is here live. This isn't over virtual technology and computers. We have Chip in the studio. And so maybe we'll get a photo. We can put that on social so people
Let's
can see a little bit of what we're talking about. So, Chip, before we jump into the topic of the day, which will be FSMA 204, what have you been up to for the last few years since we last saw you?
You know, it's been a heck of a journey. As many of you know, I came at this from technology, and have been learning the seafood industry as I go. And so I have been on this incredible learning curve as I've gotten into the seafood industry, and learning from all of our clients and partners and other folks. Just, you know, what's the difference between a shrimp and a crawfish?
How much time you got?
But there is like an unbelievable amount of things. One of the things I was saying is that the three-letter acronyms in seafood rival the three-letter acronyms in technology. From a work perspective, Blue Trace, we've now we're up to over 450 clients. We have printed over 5 million tags. We've expanded beyond just shellfish to the rest of seafood. So it's been an amazing journey to watch it. Yeah, we have clients in every coastal state in the U.S. and every coastal province in Canada except Hawaii. So if anybody's listening from Hawaii, we'd love to talk to you because I'd like a trip.
And you probably want to record another podcast episode down there.
Oh, yeah.
Too.
So yeah, we'll have to think you guys should come and we can do an interview with that client at the same time.
Let's make it work. So I'm going to have you explain a little bit more about FSMA 204. And again, that's an acronym. So some of our listeners probably know exactly what we're talking about. If you don't, continue to listen so that you are fully aware of what this is about, because it may pertain to you and your business. So Chip, please explain to us what the acronym FSMA is. What is FSMA 204? And its significance for the seafood industry.
All right, we'll start with the acronym. Food Safety Modernization Act was passed actually way back in like 2010. And it was basically put on the shelf. The FDA never really had, you know, once an act get passed, the, you know, rules, specific rules are written by the agency, in this case, the FDA. And they sort of didn't really do the rules. There were a lot of changes going on. But they've, you know, a couple of places filed lawsuits saying you've got to write the rules. So under threat of a lawsuit, they wrote the rules. And they published the final version of the rules last November. Section 204 refers to one part of those rules. Mm-hmm. There's a whole, endless amount you can go through. But the 204 is enhanced traceability regulations. Enhanced meaning it adds on to ones that they already have to do for HACCP and other things. And what it's really doing is introducing a whole lot of acronyms. So the basic idea is there are critical tracking events in seafood. Harvest, shipping, receiving, cooling, transforming, that are, you know, you're now required to record key data elements, or KDEs, another acronym, at every one of those CTEs. Every critical tracking event has a series of KDEs that you're supposed to collect. There is a requirement for a traceability lot code, or TLC, another acronym.
Oh, wow.
The TLC is supposed to be collected at the start of the chain, and then supposed to remain consistent all the way through the chain through all those CTEs as you collect KDEs.
Right.
And this applies not just to seafood. It applies to any what they have termed high-risk foods, which are on the Food Traceability List, mm-hmm. another acronym, FTL. the Food Traceability List has a, you know, most, you know, a lot of items are on there. Almost all seafood is on there. If you happen to be a squid producer or scallop abductor mussel, you're exempted. Hmm. If you or catfish. Catfish is exempted as well.
Okay.
Another big exemption is actually any of the shellfish that is covered by the National Shellfish Sanitation Program, or NSSP, another acronym, that, you know, if you're covered by that, which is really like live oysters, most clams, most mussels, you are not, you know, required to comply with the Food Safety Modernization Act, the FSMA 204. The reality of it is, in my world, I see a lot of the regulations that are already on shellfish really expanding to the rest of seafood.
Okay.
So for a lot of the operational realities of the world, what you're already doing in your shellfish department is probably what you're going to have to do in the rest of your world.
Yep.
And so you're going to be moving, you know, the activities you have in shellfish over to, say, your tuna or your swordfish or lobster or what have you.
Mm. So since this is a United States-based act, how does that ripple effect then affect a producer in another country, another continent?
That's a really interesting part of this, because obviously 70 to 80% of U.S. seafood is imported.
Right. Yep.
And it explicitly covers imported food. It also explicitly covers almost all frozen, which is when a lot of stuff is imported frozen.
Mm-hmm.
And so you are a Indian shrimp farmer. You are required to record a traceability lot code, establish a traceability lot code at harvest, record all the key data elements, which in this case would include like what pond you harvested it from, what date and time, and all those kind of things, and pass that information up through all the steps that it's going to take to get to the U.S. consumer's plate. So, you know, where was it processed? How was it packaged? What other lots was it combined with? When was it shipped into the U.S.? Mm-hmm. There's some other regulations that will go along with that for as an importer, like the Seafood Import Monitoring Program, or SIMP, another acronym.
that one you can say, SIMP.
It almost doesn't count. you know, so there will be some other things on top of it. But the, you know, from a operational perspective, you know, it doesn't really matter whether you're in New Orleans or you're in Bangladesh. You're going to have to basically do the same things.
Mm.
So, Chip, what are the key updates or changes introduced by FSMA 204 that seafood companies probably need to be aware of?
So there are a few. I mean, the collecting of data at these key tracking events, critical tracking events, is obviously front and center. You're probably going to have to change your system somewhat to collect different data. You're also going to have to ingest from your suppliers things like the traceability lot code and on some other key data. So, you know, think about that communications with your suppliers. It's going to be different. And then again, with your customers,
yep.
So passing data on. So all of those are going to be different. The other thing that's different is the FDA is very explicit that they want digital data. Now, they framed it as they want a sortable spreadsheet within 24 hours of request from the FDA, which most companies, if you're any scale, probably can comply with, but not all.
Yeah.
And many, you know, particularly of all those data elements, to be able to get that into a spreadsheet, you could be seeing people typing all night if they don't have an electronic system.
Well, and I think you mentioned the focus, right, for smaller, medium-sized facilities. Cost is really important, and you have to look at managing your bottom line, but what technologies do you invest in, and something like this that's going to be a requirement. And I don't know, have we said yet when this is going into effect? I mean, I know the date, but I don't know if we've said it yet.
Yeah, so January 20th of 2026.
Okay.
So about a year and a half away.
So for any of our procrastinators that are saying, it's far enough away where maybe I don't have to start thinking about this, that's not the case. That's probably bad advice if you do that, right? Because there's a lot of system changes. You have to talk to your supply chain, and you have to get – it's not just you that needs to make the changes. It goes further down the line. And I think maybe we'll dissect into that a little bit more as we navigate through some of these interview questions. But I just wanted to say that this doesn't happen overnight, so you need to plan. You need to plan ahead.
Yes,
and I didn't mean to cut you off, Chip.
I think that's incredibly important. And you also mentioned that, you know, big companies, you know, you can hire a full-time person to do this. If you've got 100 people on staff and you hire one more person, it's not going to be a major impact to your bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a small company with 5 or 10 people and you have to hire a full-time person, that's a major impact to your bottom line. And so, you know, figuring out how to make people more efficient so they can do this, have the systems in place so this just happens, that you don't need a full-time person to, you know, comply with FSMA,
right.
I think is what you need to be thinking about now.
So since this act is all about food safety modernization, what are some of the like actual stipulations that are affecting seafood safety in this sort of process? Like, yes, it covers the traceability, but what about those actual critical tracking events?
Yes, the CTEs.
The CTEs.
Yes.
What about the CTEs is going to be affected?
So taking a step back, why are we doing this regulation? Why does this even exist? It exists because way too often people get sick and die from eating bad food.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And there's all these horror stories out there. And so Congress responded to all the horror stories.
Mm-hmm.
And just to be clear, our food is safe 99.9% of the time. When something bad happens, the FDA or any local health regulator wants to get that food out of the supply chain as quickly as possible.
Right. Yep.
Mm.
Like there was just an instance recently with baby food that happened to have lead in it. It was really horrible.
And then there was a huge shortage afterwards.
But they couldn't figure out where this was coming from. And it gets, you know, packaged all different ways. It goes to lots of different retailers. Yep. It goes all over the place.
Time is of the essence to be able to get that off shelves, right?
Yeah, and if it's my kid and there's something unhealthy out there, I want that off the shelves tomorrow.
Right.
Right.
And the FDA has trouble doing that if they don't have the documentation. So the idea of a traceability lot code is I can look at that lot code, I can trace it back really quickly, trace it forward really quickly, and get it off the shelves. And so that's a really good idea. You know, I don't think anybody argues with it. It's going to be the challenge is going to be in the implementation.
Right. What do you see as some of the potential challenges for some of these companies that now this is top of mind, they need to implement this, but what do you see as some barriers or some challenges that they're going to face?
Well, first of all, most people in the seafood industry are not sitting behind desks recording things. It's a industry that is really defined by a lot of small players.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of trade. It's the most traded protein in the world, 3X beef. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be some inherent challenges in that world. And it's a change of practice. So, you know, now a lobster dealer on the coast of Maine needs to put a traceability lot code onto a set of lobsters.
Mm-hmm.
But then we have a lot of mixing and matching. So we have a lot of processing. Take that lobster. It probably got combined with five other crates of lobster at some point during the chain, then got split apart, and some got sent to be frozen, and some got sent to as whole, you know, hard shell lobsters, and some got sent to something else. And so everything's getting, you know, changed along that supply chain.
Yep.
And that's a hard thing. That's a challenge to put in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just talking to somebody who's like, yeah, we ship out lobsters and we put a lemon in there. Now we got to track that lemon. Maybe we take the lemon out.
Yeah. Let's not make this challenge more challenging than it needs to be. All right, lemons off the list.
So keeping those sorts of challenges in mind, what sort of things should producers and facilities be looking out for to ensure that they're complying with FSBA moving forward?
Yeah, so we've got a white paper on our website. If you'll go to blue-trace.com, you can download the white paper for free there.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, you know, do an audit to start with. Mm. Am I collecting these KDEs? You're probably collecting a lot of them already.
Yep.
Right.
At these critical tracking events. Do I have lot codes? Are they stable lot codes? The lot code that I came in with is the lot code it went out with.
Mm.
So you're going to do an audit to figure out what the delta is between these. Then my next recommendation is use this as a chance to figure out the efficiency of your operation. Don't look at this as a tax, but is there a way to make your operation more efficient by using some of this data?
Mm-hmm.
By, you know, collecting it more efficiently, you know, having it come in with the data on it and having it go out so that you can, you know, do real-time inventory.
Mm-hmm.
Or know what your loss rate is or what your yield is or any of these other things that can actually improve your bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
I'm old enough to have been through Y2K. There were a lot of companies that used Y2K as a chance to upgrade their systems
mm-hmm.
to make them much more efficient.
Mm.
And I think that you know, smart companies in the seafood industry are going to do that.
That's a great approach of looking at it sort of as like a positive thing. Like, what new things can we get out of this that we weren't doing already?
I think there's also been the wave recently, traceability just being like a hot topic, right?
Definitely.
Consumers asking about where food is coming from. So I think because of that, to your point, Chip, there are probably certain things that are already in place with some of these companies because that's what people are asking for.
I think that's exactly right. I think, you know, smart companies here will may look at this as a great marketing opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Seafood has unbelievable stories.
Mm.
And unbelievable sure pictures and like,
yep.
Oh, learning about where this oyster is farmed or where the salmon came from and all this, you know, there are some amazing stories that get lost in the supply chain. Is there a chance to bring those stories through the supply chain in a way that, you know, makes it more compelling for the consumer? They can see where their food came from. Maybe they go visit that oyster farm.
Yeah.
You know, there are some things that we all love. Yeah. And this is a chance to actually do that. And then there is just, you know, the number one expense for any seafood distributor is their inventory.
Mm.
And geez, if you know what's coming so you can start pre-selling the inventory before it gets there, and you know what's in inventory so you can make sure you get it out of inventory before it goes bad, you can reduce food waste, you can increase inventory churn in their world, that's a huge win. And that could be a big impact on the bottom line. And maybe this is actually a chance to do that, to look at this and say, hey, how do we, you know, if I know I'm getting, you know, 1,000 pounds of tuna tomorrow, how do I start selling that ahead of time so that I can say, you know, hey, it came in tonight, I, you know, repacked it and it's out the door within 2 hours. It's on the way to the restaurant.
That's a good point.
Everybody's happy in that world.
Yeah.
Yep.
So thinking about what you were just saying about seafood stories. I love that. And it's so true. Seafood is so unique in that there's so many amazing stories behind how the product actually gets to your plate. And thinking about those stories and how they can be supported by FSBA, I think that there's a huge opportunity for enhanced consumer confidence in seafood products. So how do you see FSBA playing a role with consumer confidence and trust in the products that they're buying?
Yeah, and it should enhance it, right? I mean, that's the
that's
the entire goal. It should enhance the trust. And, you know, it is the one of the number one reasons that people don't eat seafood is that they're worried about food safety.
Mm-hmm.
If this ensures better food safety and that worry goes away, I think it's good for the entire industry.
Do you and I know you're not a fortune teller, but do you think that there's a possibility that FSMA, because something that I hear a lot from consumers in the U.S. specifically is like, oh, I don't like buying seafood from this very large region of the world. So do you think that FSMA might help some of those people that have those notions in their mind about entire swaths of the world? Do you think that this could help them with those perceptions?
I would think so. I mean, I think by doing this, you're able to, you know, really instill confidence in the food that does make it to the table.
Yeah, I think it's one thing to just say, you can trust this, and then you just take someone's word for it. But now it's like, not only can you trust it, here's the proof.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Here's the proof. Here's the, you know, here's where it started. Meet the farmer. Right. Meet these great farmers. Meet that oyster farmer on the coast of Maine. Meet that salmon farmer in Norway. Mm-hmm. You know, meet that shrimper down in the Gulf. You know, there are like all these different stories of folks that you want to meet.
Mm.
All right. We're going to get into some technologies. See if you have some advice here. Are there any specific tools, technologies, or strategies that seafood companies can leverage to streamline FSMA 204 compliance?
Well, you can start with Blue Trace, but that's an obvious answer.
I was hoping you'd start with that one.
But you know, start with first principles. What are you trying to accomplish? So do that audit. Know what you're trying to accomplish. Know where your gap is with your current system. It may be that your current systems, whatever it is, works, and that's totally fine. You should do that. And then if it doesn't work, know what you're looking for. Don't just go out and say, hey, I need technology. Go out and say, hey, I need technology that integrates with my accounting system that allows me to get advanced shipping notice from these types of companies. And then you can narrow it down, and there are lots of options out there. My recommendation would be to make sure you also work with somebody who's got experience in seafood. That seafood is a very difficult industry to work in. And so it's got lots of different, you know, just take quantities, for instance. It's about uncommon to buy something in pounds and sell it in pieces. Or to, you know, turn a tuna into a bunch of loins. There's just a lot of things that happen in this industry that aren't, you know, common in other industries. So I'd focus on that. And then the third one I'd really focus on is ease of use. Is this something your frontline people can pick up and use? And that often means on the phone. It means you probably have people who are, you know, English is a second language. They're living in wet environments. You know, if they can do it, then the rest of the system works. There's lots of beautiful systems out there that do an amazing stuff that, you know, require somebody who's gotten, you know, 3 months of training and sits behind a computer all day long. And that's probably not the world you live in.
So, hard truth coming. What are the consequences if you procrastinate and you miss the deadline of implementation and you're running your business? And
Your FDA inspection is going to be a lot tougher. you know, almost every distributor in this world gets inspected twice a year by the FDA or their state or local inspectors. They are going to start looking for FSMA compliance. If you are not compliant, they will probably give you a warning. They'll probably write you up the first time. The next time it might be a fine, and then, you know, it's up to loss of license. You know, you could be actually shut down. So, you know, be very cautious. The other thing is, you know, geez, if God forbid somebody got sick and died from your product and you were not compliant with FSMA, you may be held personally liable, but certainly your company would be held liable.
Right.
And so, you know, you want to be ahead of that because that's the worst case scenario.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit more about the white paper that Blue Trace created? I skimmed through it, and there is so much great information in there, and I'm really impressed because as someone who is not familiar with FSMA, it made it a lot more easy to understand. So I think it would be great if you could just give us an overview of what people can expect to find in there because it's such a great resource.
Thanks for the plug.
Of course.
We basically, you know, we've met with the FDA a number of times. We've read all the regulations, which, by the way, are really boring. and so we tried to pull out the key points, particularly for the seafood industry, particularly for folks who maybe are not the largest companies out there. We said, what do you really need to know? So what products are covered? What are the general requirements of each of these critical tracking events? What are the KDs that they're expecting? What does it mean to have a sortable spreadsheet? What does it mean to have a traceability lot code? A lot of those kind of things. There are plenty of other resources out there, but for us, this was just helpful as a way of talking to our own clients to say, you know, hey, this is coming. You should start paying attention to it. You know, on our own technology platform, we just rolled out traceability lot codes for everything. We're like, we're just going to do that because that's a starting point. We know everybody's going to have to get to that. So let's just make it that that's compliant. Because what we want to be able to do is have seafood companies be able to operate freely and know they're compliant with all the regulations. Yeah, we did the same thing with Prop 65 because everything causes cancer in California. So we, you know, if you check a box, we'll print the Prop 65 language for you.
Yeah.
You know, if you know the regulations on the NSSP change and, you know, the number of days you need to stay or the tags after you receive them, we change that. And so it's just, you know, those kind of things. We want to make it so that you don't really need to think about regulations. You can think about the much more important things of running your business.
Like that, as well said. Now that we know the consequences, let's move to the future. So looking ahead, what do you envision as the future trajectory of FSMA 204 and its impact on the seafood companies?
I think, you know, I think it will have a very far-reaching impact. I think it's one of those things that over time we'll look back and recognize it was probably a turning point, the same way maybe seafood HACCP was at an earlier stage, where, you know, there's just going to be more regulations and it's going to be more in your face. Hopefully it means that we have a safer product, even though it's really very safe right now, but it really better consumer confidence that is great for the industry overall. And just to, you know, be fair to the FDA, these rules are not dissimilar to what Europe has already implemented, what Japan has already implemented. So it is really sort of following along with what other major economies are doing. And so, you know, that Norwegian's salmon farm is doing this for Europe already. So they'll be doing it for the U.S. and for Japan.
I mean, you mentioned this. The regulations seem to just continue to evolve and change. New ones are being required. So it can be challenging. I think that's just the world that we live in, and the best thing you can do and the best advice, and I think you said this, Chip, really is just try to stay ahead and don't procrastinate to the last possible minute, because then you might have to make some sacrifices to meet those regulations that you don't want to have to make.
Yeah. My other hope in the future here is that a lot of these regulations that impact seafood all get aligned. So take the Seafood Import Monitoring Program, which is run by NOAA, which is different than the, you know, FDA's Food Safety Modernization Act, but they're effectively collecting a lot of the same data for different reasons. Well, maybe it would be nice if they could be actually the same regulation, collecting the same data and just used for two different purposes. And there are a lot of examples of that, particularly in the seafood industry, where there's overlapping regulations. And so if you, you know, if you want to do something proactive, talk to your public officials about aligning some of these regulations, because there definitely has been a push in the Senate to align some of these regulations.
I mean, I think what even sparked that last comment that I had was when we were talking about just the regulations that maybe they're doing in Europe or what Norway's already doing. But if they're exporting to Japan or exporting to the United States, wherever, and there's if you're almost like a middle person because you have a great product and it's going all over the place, what are the regulations in order to successfully get your product into those countries or those regions? And because of that unique scenario, you're having to do a lot of different things that someone else might not need to. So finding how to streamline some of those regulations so that it's a little bit easier for someone in that scenario, that would be welcomed, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think you know, I mean, the danger of all of these regulations is it becomes prohibitively expensive to comply with them.
Yep.
And then people either cut corners and just don't comply with them.
Or go
out of business. Or more likely, they just raise their prices for everybody.
Yep, that's true.
And that's not what we want either. Right. Because the other big reason that people don't do seafood is it's expensive. And so, you know, we don't want you to be, you know, have unsafe food, but we also don't want expensive food.
Right.
And so figuring out the balancing act there is really important.
Yeah, getting in the middle of all of the different variables. That's the hardest part, probably.
Yeah, and I don't envy the FDA on this. As much as everybody loves to badmouth the FDA, and we all do. this is a tough one. And to their credit, they did their homework. They spent a lot of time visiting plants and whatnot. Mm-hmm. They've had a lot of staff turnover, which isn't helpful. But they have tried to do their homework on this. And I expect we will see some changes after it starts rolling out when they realize where the challenges are. Mm.
So before we kind of wrap up, what is there anything that we didn't cover that you want to cover while you have the platform? Like, is there any aspects of FSMA 204 or the industry or anything that comes to mind that you want to get out there to our listeners while you have the mic?
Tons of stuff. I want to talk about my beautiful vest. I want to talk.
You do have a great vest on.
People will see it. We're going to take a photo.
All right. the reality is, I think this is an incredible industry. I think that, there are some amazing people that have been incredibly welcoming as I've been learning this industry. They are incredibly hardworking. The product they produce is great for our health. It's great for our environment. Have you looked at the carbon emissions of seafood versus everything else? Mm. And it's great for our local communities. I mean, I grew up on the coast of Maine. I know firsthand how important the fishing industry is for the coast of Maine. And, you go almost anywhere in the world now and you can see that same story. And so I think this is a huge turning point and a huge opportunity. I think this industry is on a great track. And what I would love to see is that seafood surpasses chicken and beef at some point in the future, because I think it could. And I think there's so many innovative things going on in the aquaculture world and the distribution space that I think it's just an amazing opportunity.
Well, if any of our listeners want to learn more about FSMA 204, if they have questions for you, Chip, if they want to learn about Blue Trace, where is the best place that they can contact you?
The World Wide Web, blue-trace.com.
And everything will be there for you.
Everything will be there. All of our contact information is there. You can find us on LinkedIn or Instagram or any of those others, but start on the web. Usually that's the easiest.
Right, and we'll make sure to make that easy for our listeners, and we'll link to it in the show notes. And remember, if people are interested in learning a little bit more about Blue Trace, I know this will be 2 years. This is from this recording that was 2 years ago. We do have episode 112 in the queue. So if you're listening to this episode and you want to listen to another one right after it or before this one, go to episode 112, which was the first time we had Chip on the Aquademia podcast.
And we'll link to that in the show notes too.
And guys, thank you for doing this. I actually have been listening to your podcast religiously. I think I've listened to almost every episode and I learn a ton. And I'm sure other people do as well.
Well, we appreciate you deciding to make the trek to come sit with us in our lovely studio and give us all this knowledge on FSMA 204, because Maddie and I couldn't have done this one without you, because we don't know anything about it.
Definitely not.
Well, the studio is amazing. I'll come anytime you want.
All right, excellent.
You heard it here first.
Well, Chip, thank you so much again for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you, guys.
Folks, that was our conversation with Chip Terry. I hope you learned something. If you are one of those listeners who work for a company that need to understand more about FSMA 204, please check out our show notes. Do your due diligence and get your company prepared.
Yeah, we're going to have a bunch of resources listed in the show notes about everything FSMA 204, so be sure to check that out.
And as always, if you want to follow us on social, we are on Twitter at AquademiaPod. You can contact us via our online form, which is located at globalseafood.org/podcast.
And if you enjoyed this episode, then be sure to leave a rating or review for us on your podcast platform of choice. And while you're doing that, you might as well subscribe.
Thanks again for tuning in to another episode of the Aquademia podcast.
We'll talk to you next time.
Ciao.
Bye.